This podcast was recorded on Gadigal land. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay our respects to elders both past and present. Always was, always will be.
Hello everyone.
Hello.
We're back.
We're back.
And we've got these microphones now. Pretty swish. Hopefully that helps with some of the audio issues we were experiencing.
Claudia
before.
Is a sound engineer by profession and really notices when the sound isn't absolutely perfectionist.
So how are you?
I'm very well. I've come in from the clinic, as you can see. I'm in my work clothes this time. I've been working with clients all day, having a little break. We'll go back to them after this.
How have the clients been so far?
They've been good. Yes. They've been attentive. They've been taking stuff on board. They've been feeling happy and relieved and hopeful is what the last couple said. It was their first session.
The first thing I wanted to say this episode, I promised you guys a little update last week.
Mm-hmm.
So we had our cute conversation about our sex life and then it was very productive. And turns out we were both on the exact same page.
Who'd have thought?
Weird.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were both kind of like figuring out how to bring it up.
So who was the brave one to bring it up?
Well, because we have our weekly meetings.
Ah, yes.
I was like, okay, what do you think about our sex life?
Go Claude.
Thank you.
Brave.
And he was like, it's largely good, but more intentional. Mm-mm. I agree. And then from that, we went into a really intense discussion about the most challenging parts of our relationship.
Go you two.
Yeah. So, and then we've had a lot of good sex ever since.
Woohoo!
Anyway, so there's your update.
Oh, thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Mm.
Back to regularly scheduled programming, though.
Oh, right. Yes.
I think it's your turn to go first.
Right.
To your erotic moment.
My most erotic moment of the week. You know, once again, it's hard for me to pinpoint just one. I like to think that I live an erotic life. And this past week, it was certainly up there because I went to down to Melbourne for a tango festival for 4 days. Melbourne. Over 4 days, I danced so much Argentine tango. It is my dance of choice. It is so beautiful. I actually consider it modern day tantra. Because we do 4 songs in a row together. That's called a tanda. And then there's a little break and then there's another tanda and a break.
Tanda tantra.
Yes. And so you partner with someone for 4 songs. You have this beautiful, intimate, exquisite experience. And you say thank you. Break. And then do it again with the next person. I was in the arms of so many men over those 4 days. And you know, like sex itself, it was very different. You know, sometimes the music was just flowy and romantic. Sometimes it was full on and passionate. Sometimes it was more do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And so we danced differently with the music. Every gentleman has his own style or her when I was led by women.
Oh, you were?
Oh, yeah, I like dancing with women.
And it
doesn't have to be.
Who goes up to who?
Oh, we do it together.
Yeah.
It's very mutual and it's mostly done with the eyes.
Okay.
So if there's someone that you're feeling like you'd like to dance with, and it might be across a crowded dance floor, you catch their eye and they catch yours and there's a moment of, and then you're off to dance.
Nice.
Yeah. It was just so beautiful. I love... To me, tango is a little bit like sensual swinging.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not sexual. I mean, occasionally there's someone that you might feel a bit of, ooh, frisson of that sort with, but it's just this beautiful, sensual, and I feel there's an element of the erotic in that.
Nice.
Mm.
So it was just 4 days of erotic moments.
Yes. Still recovering. Big smile on my face. What about you, sweetheart?
Well, mine's kind of less positive, but still ultimately positive. I had an injury last week.
Yes, you did.
I go to gymnast for a long time. And I just threw a skill and landed with straight legs. But the erotic moment was when I was seething in pain, grabbing my legs, rolling around. I was just like, because there's nothing you can really do except just hope and pray that you haven't hurt yourself really badly.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to just wait a little bit
mm-hmm.
to like assess the damage. So after I did it, it like hurt so bad. And I just grabbed my legs and I was in a little ball rolling around on the floor. And I was just like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And my coach was like, just roll over and we'll ice it. And in 5 minutes, we'll see how you're going. Anyway, so those 5 minutes was some of the most like, it was just like, I wouldn't call it meditative because it wasn't very relaxing, but I had to do a lot of very
focused
self-soothing of just, okay, so you might have done something really bad, but you're just going to have to get through it. And so it was a lot of just like, it hurts, but it doesn't need to hurt this much. Trying to like turn the pain dial down in my head.
Yeah.
And it did work ultimately in the end.
Yes.
Like, yeah. It took, I don't know how long you hurt yourself. Weird parallel dimension of
time.
I haven't felt so in my body.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, like really embodied.
Yeah.
And dealing with sensation, even though in this case it was not a positive sensation.
Yeah.
But you're sort of, oh, what's this? What am I experiencing? How am I relating to this?
And also trying to figure out how bad it was, you know? Have I done something really, really terrible? Where does it hurt? How bad does it hurt? But trying to be as specific as I could. So yeah, that was my erotic moment. It was a little
interesting. Thanks for sharing that.
A little different.
Very different. And I think this goes to show that like these experiences manifest in very different ways.
Yeah. Cool. I hope you guys are having lots of erotic moments in your own lives.
Yes.
Yeah, I would love to hear some of your guys' erotic moments. So if you feel like sharing.
Please share.
Please do. I'll repost it on our Instagram story. I've been posting lots on the story recently, and if you're a follower, you know, but I like the community vibes of it all.
I love the community vibes.
I got one this morning, my childhood best friend, and they said that they were talking about erotic feelings beyond sexuality.
Mm.
And Wallace apparently was just like, everyone, you need to listen to this podcast.
Go Wallace.
Yeah, and they're like gender studies.
Yep.
Lecture or whatever.
Ah, excellent. Spread the word.
So today, what's the subject of today?
Today, we're going to be talking about non-linear lovemaking.
Non-linear lovemaking. But
it is.
This is a Jacqueline Hellier
concept
special. Yeah.
Yes. You're not going to hear this anywhere else other than here.
How did you come up with this concept?
Because so many people come to see me and they've got these dysfunctions. Everyone's got these sexual dysfunctions. And I'm like, we can't all be sexually dysfunctional.
Mm.
Maybe the model of sex we're using is dysfunctional.
What model are we using?
Well, most people apply a linear version of sex.
Right. Straight line.
It's like there's a green light here. And the green light is the go. And it might be a type of look or type of kiss or just saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hit that green light, then you have to go through all the different steps.
Yep.
Right? You know, there's often foreplay, which implies it comes before the main event, which is getting very genital. And if you're heterosexuals, it's got to be penis and vagina. And you keep doing that until...
he comes.
There's an ejaculation.
The penis ejaculates.
And then it's finished.
Yeah.
And we hope that she's enjoyed it along the way, right? But same-sex people have very similar, you know, very orgasm focus, we go through these steps, right? Which means that there's an awful lot of pressure at the point of the green light, which means that a lot of people, if they're thinking, okay, here at this point in time where the green light is, you know, the kiss or the touch or the yes, am I feeling like that? Do I want a penis in my vagina? Do I want to put a penis in a vagina? Do I want to have whatever?
Yeah, because they've agreed to it by
But if they're thinking that I don't want to do that right now, then they'll probably say no to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which means that no, we're not going to be doing the sorts of things that might potentially arouse them enough to want to do those things.
I see.
So couples get stuck, and this is where you get the pursuer pursued thing, where one's hanging out by the green light going, can we, green light, can we please, right? And the other one's going, green light, I see no green light, there is no green light.
Right? Yeah.
And then they just stop doing the sorts of things that will actually connect them enough to potentially want to get genital.
Yeah, makes sense.
Can you see?
Yeah.
Right?
Because you're agreeing by, I don't know, let's just say instead of kissing with tongue is like your signal to go.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So then you never kiss with tongue because, oh my God, I don't want to give the wrong impression, or I don't want to lead them on, or.
Yeah.
Mm. So that model of sex is actually a masturbatory approach to sex.
I see.
Yeah, that's what you do when you're having solo sex generally. I want to have an orgasm, mm-hmm. so I'm going to stimulate the genitals until that happens, right? Mm-hmm. But that is not a good model for partnered sex.
Okay.
Right?
It's fine for masturbation though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Masturbate away. I'm a big fan. Solo sex is fantastic. We should all have solo sex life,
yes.
Right? But that is very different to partnered sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the word lovemaking advisedly, right? The reason humans evolved to be so sexual is because it bonds us, right? It keeps us in love, okay? And when I say sex, I don't just mean this.
Yeah.
I mean being tactile and engaged and everything.
Connected to your life force.
Connected to your life force, yes. You know, we should do one on why humans evolved to be so sexual. Note that down.
History,
because it's really interesting. So that linear model, like let's just chuck it out. It's awful. It's also boring. And often people will just rush it. Like if your KPI is to get to the ejaculation or to get to the orgasm, then you might rush everything else, right? And then it's going to be bad.
Mm.
I sometimes say if you want to have roast chicken, you have to put it in the oven, right? Or at 180 degrees for, you know, 30 minutes, preferably 40, at a slightly lower temperature. And then you have a succulent, juicy, tender roast chicken,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you don't have that 40 minutes, don't cook roast chicken, because putting that chicken in the oven at 400 degrees, this is Celsius, by the way, not Fahrenheit, at 400 degrees for 10 minutes.
Yeah, chicken.
It's going to be raw on the inside. It's going to be unedible, right? And too many people I meet are having that kind of sex, undercooked. Right. They've rushed it.
Undercooked sex.
It is raw roast chicken, right? So if you don't have time for the full thing, do something different. Cook a stir fry. Have some cheese on toast. Now, so that brings me to the nonlinear approach. So instead of going, da, 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 we've done this, so we must do this, therefore we must do this, therefore we must do this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just like do whatever you're in the mood for, right?
Yeah.
A kiss is just a kiss, right? A touch is just a touch. A lying naked in bed, feeling skin on skin, gazing into each other's eyes is just lying naked in bed, skin on skin, gazing to each other's eyes. It is not, therefore we must.
Yeah, it's not an agreement, a contract signing moment.
No, no. But the challenge is that to know whether we're going to do something different from that, you need two things. You need to pay attention to what you're feeling, mm-hmm. which is what we have been talking about, your inner GPS,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and you need to know where your partner is at,
yep.
which requires an ability to communicate.
Yep.
So you don't just see that it's very easy with the linear. You yeah. just go, yep, okay, we've started, so we're just going to go through to the end.
No self-awareness needed.
Or communication.
True.
A lot of people do not speak once they start having sex.
True.
Yeah, they just go through the process.
Mm.
Yeah, hoping they're getting it right. Or hoping their partner will do the right thing.
Like, it's so obviously, silly when you obviously think about I've it. Been living against this model for a long time. But every time I hear you talk about it, I'm just like, it just sounds so silly when you say it like that.
When you start thinking about so many of our beliefs and assumptions about sex, you're just like, that's absurd.
Yeah, it makes literally no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you do is like, okay, how am I feeling? Am I enjoying this?
Is it pleasurable? Is it connecting?
Yes, you're paying attention.
I am. Yes. I am. It's almost like I have to edit these podcasts for hours and hours again. The concepts ingrained into my mind. I did already know them before, but there's no chance I'm going to be.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
Continuing on.
So the linear model is like when you go to a restaurant and you order the fixed menu.
Yep.
Right? You're signing up for the whole thing. It's all coming. Yeah? Appetizers coming, entrees coming, the mains coming, desserts coming. If you don't want it, don't sign up for it in the first place. Whereas the non-linear approach is more like a picnic. A picnic.
So nice.
Yes. Now, I'm going to be very Australian here and use very Australian foods that we have at picnics, okay?
All right. So, go on then.
Yeah. So I'll put on an Aussie accent as I do it. I already have an Australian accent. I don't need to make it worse. Anyway, feel free to substitute whatever your nationality or culture's particular preferences are. So at a picnic, everything is set out in front of you. You have your dips. Mm-hmm. You have your quiche. You have your pavlova. Mm. Should we explain what a pavlova is?
Yeah, sure.
For our international audience.
Yeah.
It's this amazing meringue cake. It's meringue piled with cream and lots of fruit.
And it's white.
White.
And it's like Christmas cake.
Yes.
Kind of. Australian and Christmas it was, vibes.
It was developed by an Australian. Do not believe those New Zealanders when they say they invented the pavlova. It was the Australian. Apparently. Anyway, moving on. So at the picnic, if you want to have some dips followed by a slice of quiche followed by a slice of pavlova, fine, totally normal. But you don't have to. You can be enjoying the dips. And if someone says to you, would you care for a slice of quiche? You might say, be prepared, it could be shocking. No, thank you. I'm enjoying the dips.
Yeah.
It's not too shocking really, is it?
I don't like quiche. So, no.
Well, you're vegan.
But the quiche is presented to you and you go, is this pleasurable? Is this connecting? No, thank you.
Yeah. Yes. No, I'm actually still enjoying the dips. Maybe later.
The dips are pleasurable.
That's where I want to be. Or you might want to have a pause. You might go, actually, I'm a bit full right now because I really enjoyed those dips. So I'm not going to eat anything for a little while. Maybe later.
Mm.
Or you might go, you know what? I'm just not in the mood for quiche, as fine as that quiche looks. But I'd really like some of those kebabs. Yeah? I hope the audience isn't getting too shocked by these things that I'm saying. No, of course not. That's absurd.
Yeah.
You might even go, actually, I don't want quiche. I want to go straight to the pavlova because that's looking mighty fine. Mm-hmm. And then you might come back and have some quiche later and some more dips and some quiche and some pav and some quiche and some pav and some dips. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So fun.
And this is really important, you can go to a picnic and not eat. You can just sit there, drink your champagne, chat to your friends. There is no food police. So you're at a picnic, you must eat, right? You do whatever you want to do. So this is how I'd like you to conceptualize your love life. It's just, where are you at now? You can do whatever you like in any order, in any pace, in any quantity, right? That's it. And if you want to do something different or one of you suggesting something different, you go like, hey, doll. But like in this kiss, how about we take it to the bedroom? Where would you be with that? And Dahl will be going, And it might be like, yeah, let's go. Or it might be like, you know what? Just liking this kiss. Or, you know, really want to chill this evening, so why don't we just keep the kiss and the cuddling going while we watch the last episode of our Netflix thing? Or actually, I just need to whiz out a few, you know, emails. How about I meet you in the bedroom in 20 minutes?
Yeah.
40 minutes, be prepared. Right. Like, you're conceptualizing something much bigger than just a yes or a no.
Yeah.
You are co-creating the experience.
It's also very different to the consent model we were taught as well.
It is. The consent model too much is based on a patriarchal view of sex, that sex is something the penis owner, let's just call it the man, does to the vagina owner, the woman. So the man has to kind of come in and hopefully get it right. And then the woman has to respond to what he's bringing and either go along with it or say no.
Yeah.
Right? There's no co-creation in there. There's no equal agency.
Nope.
There's no agency. the poor bloke is there like, oh, my God, I hope I'm going to get this right.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what they're conditioned to do. That somehow they're just supposed to sweep on in like a knight in shining armor and get the sex exactly right. And she's there going, oh, I've got to respond to what he's bringing. Like I can't bring my own stuff to this. I just either have to go along with it or say, no, I'm empowered. You and your penis.
I'm going to peg you instead.
Oh, which is totally fine if pegging's your thing, right?
Yeah.
But similar dynamics play out in, you know, same-sex relationships.
Yeah.
You know, very often one sort of feels they have to succumb to the other, and usually that's the person who's got the higher drive they've got to succumb to. But what this is, doesn't matter what your gender is, doesn't matter what your orientation is, mm-hmm. it's what are we co-creating here?
Yeah. It's also, it's a lot more laborious. But also much more rewarding.
And you know what? It's actually more erotic.
Yeah.
Because sometimes my clients, no, frequently my clients say to me, oh, but I feel a bit awkward talking, or doesn't talking ruin the moment? And I'm like, it depends how you talk.
Yeah.
Right? If you're like, well, we've been kissing for 5 minutes now, so what do you reckon? How about, would it be okay if we went to the bedroom? No, that's not erotic.
Yeah.
It's pathetic, actually. It's the opposite of erotic.
Yeah.
But if you kind of like, oh, darling, I am kind of liking this kiss. I was just had this thought that maybe we could take it to the bedroom. I'm curious to know where you're at with this.
That tone of voice that we were talking about last week,
it's
guys.
It's erotic. Yeah. Right? Now I'm laying it on a little bit thick here, you know, but actually it's not that much different in my own personal life.
It sounds very nice in these microphones.
Does it? Oh, there you go. Get out some microphones and talk to each other through the headphones. Right? But actually when you learn to communicate well, it actually adds to the experience.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And it opens you up to doing some different things. Like you can pace it better. You might suggest a few things.
Yep.
Right? And ultimately you were both
learn more about yourself.
Yes. Yeah. And your partner. Mm. Right? Now, look, there are times, I will admit, where sometimes, you know, you won't get what you want. You know, your partner's not just there, you know, you want to move on to Pav and they're like, no, actually the dips are fine. Okay, you might get a bit disappointed. It happens, right? But the thing is that the more a couple can move into this way of relating, so it's almost like the whole of life becomes a picnic, then you've got this lovely connection going, which means you're feeling loved up and desired anyway because you've got this lovely connection, which means genital sex itself is less important, like you're not hanging out for it, but at the same time it's also a lot easier, so you're more likely to do it.
Definitely.
Without the pressure.
For sure. Can confirm that after that discussion. It did shift something. I think it was mostly because we were both ready to shift together. We were just like at that same point together. But it's, for me, when I was younger and going through the like societal model of progressing through the steps, it would be like penis and pev envelopment, and I'd just be like, okay, and then right towards the end when he came, I would be like, wow, I'm feeling it now, I'm ready to go, and then he would come and then it would be all over and I'd just be like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. But what do you do at that point?
And, yeah, in hindsight, it was because I wasn't taking adequate enough time to warm up, even though we thought we were because we were doing foreplay.
Yes.
But because it wasn't. Like, there have been so many times where I've been getting eaten out and I'm just like, okay, I must get horny. I have to get a wet vagina from this. Focus on wetting the vagina. This feels so good. This feels good. Doing a really good job, you know, to try and, like, get myself. But that's not real. No, that's not going to work.
No, and that's going to keep you in your head.
Yeah.
Rather than relaxing and letting go into your body and like really kind of like feeling into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also I think the shift is also from making your body do like trying to get your body to do something rather than like knowing where your body is and what it can handle.
Yes.
That was a big shift for me as well. In this,
I really this like that point. Approach. Can you say that point again for our listeners in case they missed it?
You can't make your body do something. You just have to listen to what your body is ready to do.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that you're having your picnic.
Yeah.
Not like, oh my God, I should be there. It's just like, actually, I'm here. What can I do with here?
Yeah.
Yeah? And where are you at? Yeah? Yeah. What do we co-create? You know, sometimes you co-create an experience that looks very linear. Yeah. You know, you kiss a bit, you touch a bit, you go down a bit, there's intercourse, right? But the difference is that it's not an expectation.
Yeah.
It's a co-creation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's more natural rather than like, buddy, it's time to do this now, buddy. You ready, buddy? You're not ready? Get ready, buddy.
Yeah. Do it anyway.
Yeah. What are the benefits of this nonlinear approach?
The benefits of the nonlinear approach? Oh, well, you just remove all the pressure.
Yeah.
So you can genuinely relax.
Yeah.
Open up and enjoy.
And that's when it becomes that kind of meditative experience.
Yes. And when we say meditative, you know, I mean, you can get quite shagadelic. Like you can get quite passionate into it if you want, but you're actually present in the experience.
Present in the body. That's what my definition. What you mean.
Yeah. And it's, and it's just much more erotic and it's more connected because you're actually paying attention to the other as well.
Yeah, definitely. Rather than both of you being in your heads while you're actually inside each other.
I know. And so many people in their heads thinking about one, wondering what's going on for the other in their head.
Yeah, but no one's saying anything except, whereas inside.
And hoping they're saying the right things.
Oh, I wish you would move to the left a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I hope she's enjoying it. I hope I'm doing this right. Yeah. Oh, God, maybe I should be coming now. I can't come. I'm too stressed. Oh, no, I'm going to come. I shouldn't come. Think dead babies. Think babies.
Yeah.
And she's there going, oh. And everyone's acting as though there's a camera on them.
Well, it is the only example we have is porn.
So sadly.
I can't blame you guys, but it's it's not very fulfilling.
There are not many people out there sharing this approach.
Sex education.
This is true sex education.
This is true sex education, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just about functioning genitals based on a very dysfunctional linear model of sex.
Because obviously I do my mom's social media, so I try and stay relatively up to date on what everyone else is doing. No one else is doing this. Everyone else is going off that linear approach and giving advice on how to deal with it without just completely being like, nope, abolish the whole thing. It's bad.
Yeah. Let's question the model.
Yeah. And then I saw one the other day that was like, do women actually have a lower libido than men? And she was just like, well, you know, it's not about like how you set it out, how you get in the right headspace. And it's just like, rather than being like, no, you need to actually ask her what she likes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And she needs to kind of get in touch with, because note this down for a topic for another episode, maybe next one coming up soon. Female bodies are actually more sexual than male bodies.
Oh my God, I can't wait for that
episode,
guys. We
have got the whole thing back to front, people.
Maybe we should do that next one.
Yeah. Like we're going to get totally outside the patriarchal model.
Mm-hmm.
So many people who are trying to fix sex, even a lot of like well-meaning feminists and stuff, they're still operating within a patriarchal model and they don't even realize they're operating within a patriarchal model.
Yeah.
Like what that example you just gave, like the assumption. Oh, don't even start me on it. I could be here for hours. You know, you watch a lot of social media. I read a lot of like scientific articles and papers and research.
Is it there as well?
And they're based on this linear model.
Oh,
and there's often an assumption that women aren't as sexual as men or, you know. We'll save it up for another episode.
Wow. I never even thought about. Because also that's how people would be conducting research onto how people respond to sex. But it's like you're actually not having sex.
Oh, yes. They're not actually saying, well, what is sex?
Yeah. Wow.
What are our assumptions?
Okay. Anything else about the picnic analogy?
I think that's a good amount.
Me too.
But, can I share one thing? Because this happened I think it was last year when it was a couple. I often find that it's actually the women who have more trouble adapting to this because we've been more conditioned into thinking that, you know, we've got to service the penis and the penis needs this. And, you know, and so many women believe that, you know, their partner just needs to get his dick wet and get off and then, you know, he's happy. I mean, I cannot believe how many women still, intelligent, educated, independent women, still when it comes to sex fall into this patriarchal view that somehow all a man wants to do is get his dick wet and he's happy. And the men are like, no, I don't want to do it if you're not interested. I don't enjoy it if you're not enjoying it.
Yeah.
Right? Every man I've ever spoken to does not enjoy having sex with his beloved if she's not into it. No, it's horrible. No man likes to feel like he's masturbating inside his beloved's vagina.
One more time.
No man wants to enjoys feeling like he's masturbating inside his beloved's vagina. No.
Yeah, think about that. That's what we've been doing. That's what we've been doing for like centuries.
Yeah, because that's all we could. Oh, that's the topic for when I talk about the history of sex, so I won't go into it too much now. But recently this woman came in and we'd been working on this for a while and her husband was like, yes, yes. And she's like, no, that's not true. You just want to get your dick wet. And she walked in one day. I don't know, half a dozen or so sessions in. And she had this big smile on her face. And she goes, Jacqueline, I get it. And it's wonderful. Oh, my God. And she was just beaming, the light shining from her. Oh, it was so good.
If that audio, you can tell how passionate my mom was because that went crunch, 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 crunch.
I'm sorry, I hope that didn't hurt your ears.
Yeah. I know. It's like, guys, listeners, I've been in your position. I've been socialized as a woman. I just wanted to say that, guys, I don't blame you. I've been there. It's really tricky. And when you're taught that the only thing that matters is how you look, that it's really tricky to break out of that. So I don't want you to feel like we're yelling at you for doing the wrong thing because we're absolutely not. I just want you, every single person on this planet, to have a good, whole and fulfilling sex life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love you too. And it can be quite tricky to transition from the linear to the non-linear. So, yep. Compassion for ourselves.
I believe in you though.
Well, we have to have compassion for ourselves.
Definitely.
Yeah. We're just thrown into this sex thing. We're thrown into relationships with no training.
None.
None.
Except abstinence. And here's how to use a condom.
Yeah. Here's how you make a baby, which isn't that difficult.
Okay. Segment three.
Ooh, questions.
So this week,
this questions. Is where I get put on the spot because I don't know what the questions are.
So I posted on your story and the My Mom's a Sex Therapist story saying, ask me anything.
Yes, I noticed.
And these are the responses.
Well, okay.
So one of my friends doesn't have, she texts me. Anyway, but we'll go with the Instagram ones. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Is sex more a mental game than it is physical? How much is it, how you think?
That's a really good question, actually.
You've got a lot of good questions.
Yeah. Is it more mental or physical? Well, to some extent, if you don't get the mental right, it's hard to experience the physical as well as you can. Mm-hmm. So, yes, of course it is a physical thing. But if you're feeling tense or dissociated, disconnected, stressed, you're in your head, you're not fully in your body, then it won't be everything that it can be. Yeah. So in that sense, yes. There is a connection between the mind and the body. But certainly in that sense of like our mind is very creative. Mm. And I think it's really good to use our mind to come up with ideas, which we can talk about outside the bedroom and I know we can plan some things. It's nice to, you know, share fantasies and so forth.
Yeah.
And to have ideas and to, you know, be able to clock in at times, you know, particularly if it's more extended love play, you know, some ideas. So the brain might go, oh, this might be a good spot to do such and such. Or, yeah, so in that sense, definitely.
Yeah. But I will say that once you get this, like, understanding of each other down and you have a lot of these conversations, it definitely, I would say it becomes more physical.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah. You have to put in the groundwork in order to get it.
Yes, you do.
Okay, next.
Next.
Can any part of the body become a pleasurable place or only erogenous zones?
Ah, good question. Okay, so the whole of the body can feel pleasure, right? And in fact, sometimes, especially on my retreats, sometimes I challenge my clients when we're doing the touch workshop to sort of find a part of the body that you've neglected. Mm-hmm. You know, like it might be the little toe, right, or the elbow, or somewhere that we don't really think of as being erogenous, and to give it some love. And any part of the body can feel pleasure because we've got nerve endings everywhere, right? So, yes, the classic erogenous zones have got a lot more nerve endings, which is why we can feel a lot more pleasure. Mm. But I think it's just such a shame to ignore parts of the body.
Yeah. Do you remember when my partner and I discovered my shins?
Your shins, yes.
Yeah, that was a really incredible moment, guys.
Yeah.
We were just having a little exploration of my body. Turns out I really like shin stuff.
Yeah. Yes. So explore the whole of the body. You know, not everything has to be a 10 out of 10. Yeah, the bits with the most nerve endings will have more of a 10 out of 10. But just because it's a 5 out of 10, that doesn't mean it's bad.
Yep.
Yeah?
Time and place for everything.
Love
really.
Your elbows. Love those
love
elbows.
Love the bits in between your toes. Okay. Does having ADHD limit your ability to orgasm / feel sexual pleasure?
Does it? ADHD could potentially, in that same sense.
Busy brain.
The busy brain. Yeah. Any kind of situation or condition that makes it difficult for you to get embodied and feel into you. Now, I'm not like a total ADHD expert, but I do know enough about it that, yes, you know, I mean, sure, there's medications, but all the mindfulness practices are really good for people with ADHD. And they're also really useful for being able to. For anyone to improve their embodiment.
As someone with ADHD, it's really important that I, as much as I can, like lay structure out in order for me to succeed, if that makes sense. So like putting music on really helps me because it kind of tunes out the brain noise and stuff like
that. Yeah, me too.
So just anything that you think is going to give you brain noise, like in that example that I talked about last week, how my partner would ask me during sex about what I wanted. That got me just thinking.
Turns the left side of the brain back on. And like, no, we don't want that.
And there's also a part of ADHD that makes you dissociate a lot or like easily get into your brain. So yeah, I would just say lay out the groundwork so you will succeed. Okay, this is a question for me.
Oh.
I know, there's only one for me.
One for you. Hey, it's not for me.
Or Claude, were you ever embarrassed by your mum?
Do I want to hear the answer to
this?
The answer, I want to hear the answer.
Yeah, you do. yes, you want to hear the answer. No, yes, I was embarrassed. No, I've never been embarrassed. In high school, people tried to embarrass me unsuccessfully because my mum has a YouTube channel and she used to feature this big blow up sex doll that has like a massive black dick.
Bruce.
A white sex doll with a black dick. Yeah. And, 14, 15-year-old boys loved to try and embarrass me with that. But every single time I would be like, so did you actually listen to what she was talking about? No? You should.
Oh, makes a sex therapist mother's heart proud.
Or I would be like, why are you focusing so much on his big black dick rather than listening? Is it because you're gay? And in that time, 10 years ago, that was the insult of the...
Yeah.
That was the shutdown insult. Anyway, so no. Okay. This is a big one.
Oh, okay. Be prepared. Drum roll.
All right. Can you talk a bit more about people born through IVF and the start of their life is connected to sexual energy? The example you guys gave in episode one was insemination in penis vagina sex.
Oh, gosh. Look, I mean, essentially it is about an egg and a sperm coming together.
Yeah.
Right? I would not encourage you to be putting too much sort of meaning on, was it done in an act of love? Was the life force flowing at the time? The fact that the sperm has fertilized that ovum means the life force is flowing.
Yeah.
Right?
And regardless if the sperm is sat in a petri dish, it still came from.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be able to fertilize if it wasn't still full of the life force, right? And one thing too that I really want to stress, that if your parents did IVF, they so wanted you. Like you were so conceived with love. Yeah, it is.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, because I think behind that is a little bit of like, oh, I was conceived by IVF. Maybe it's not as good or authentic or something. And I just want to stress your parents wanted you so badly. That was love.
Yeah, and that would be infused in it regardless.
Regardless. And, you know, that is the biggest act of life force possible. When an egg is fertilized. Yeah. It's beautiful. Thank you for that. Thank you for that question.
Yeah. When I saw that question. Whoa. Okay. This one is also. Okay. This one's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you grow up in a sex positive household? How did that affect you?
Ah, mum and dad, are you listening to this? I remember once my mum saying, we don't know how you turned out like this. Well, actually, just recently, it wasn't that long ago, I asked them, right, because a lot of my sex education actually came from the book, The A to Z of Sex, which I found at the in the top shelf of the bookshelf, hidden in the corner, right?
At your parents' house.
Well, yeah, in the family home, right? Which I found, of course. and it was actually not that long ago. I asked them, and they're in their 80s now. I said, did you put that book there deliberately knowing that I would find it? And they said yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was the intention?
For me to read it and learn about sex.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So they didn't give me the talk. Although somehow I managed to get lots of sex education at school because I went to lots of different schools because I was in a military family. Yeah. And it's kind of like every school I went to, I hit the year when they did sex education. So I actually got some really good stuff.
Okay. Which country had the best one?
Well, this was all in Australia.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, bizarrely, a lot of them were Catholic schools. Like some of the best sex education I got was at Catholic schools. But, you know, like this was before Catholic got very conservative again in the late 80s, I think. There was a shift. I don't know. I don't practice it. But one thing I do want to say, and I think this is really important, is that my parents had a great relationship. I mean, they still do. They have a beautiful relationship.
We just celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary.
Yeah. And my dad loved my mum, still does, extraordinary. And so I grew up knowing that man loves woman, right? Because your parents sort of represent, your dad represents man, your mum represents woman. So I grew up knowing what was really embedded in me was that man loves woman. And that is so empowering for a girl.
Aww.
Yeah. So I think.
Rather than like woman serves man.
Yeah. Yeah. Or man and woman fight all the time and stuff like that. So, so I think that was really important. So that was positive. And I knew that they had sex.
Okay, the last question is a bit of a loaded one.
Oh, my God, another one.
It's another load, but it's the last
people,
one.
These are big questions to have thrown at me on the spur of the moment.
Do you like it, though?
But I love it.
Yeah, I thought you would. How do I manage coming to terms with sexual trauma with a new partner and keep the space safe for both of us, especially when wanting to explore rougher sex?
Yeah, the question of past trauma sexually and a new partner is a really big one. I often work with couples where there has been some level of trauma. And how do the couple manage it together? So I think it's important for that particular listener to just gently explain to a partner that, you know, I have had some unpleasant experiences in the past, so I'm, you know, sensitive to certain things, right? And please just be mindful. Maybe sharing what the reaction might be. You know, if I suddenly freeze or get teary, it's not about you, you know, and what I need in that moment is, you know, a cuddle or to be left alone or whatever it is. Happens to be. So that is important. Now, in terms of engaging in rough sex with or without past trauma, but particularly with past trauma, again, if you want to do anything, you've got to talk about it. You've got to explain. We can probably do a whole episode on this actually, how to push your boundaries. But just very briefly, you have to explain what it is that you want from it. You have to explain what your fears are. You've got to together negotiate what the boundaries are. And that goes two ways because no good man is going to want to do anything that could physically be hurtful to his partner.
Absolutely.
So wanting your partner to sort of treat you rough is not safe for him unless he understands what's actually going on, why you're doing it, what the boundaries are.
Why you like it, why you don't like it.
Yeah, and that you're giving him or potentially her if it's a she, but I think in this case it's a he.
Yeah. A very, very, very lovely he.
Yeah, good. Yes. Well, then definitely he doesn't want to do something that might further traumatize. So have a good conversation, but have a good conversation in a really positive, we could do something really cool here.
Yeah.
This is what I'd like from it. Yeah, exactly. But listen to each other, like what your fears are so that you can reassure each other it's okay. You know, like if he's worried about hurting her, well, you know, like vaginas are tough. Like, you know, vaginas can actually take a bit of a pounding if the vagina owner wants that.
Mm.
Yeah, or if, you know, she wants to be pinned down a little bit or something, then she needs to let him know that actually that would be pleasurable for her.
Yeah.
But have some signals as to when it gets too much.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Before the
Before you start.
Point.
Yeah, way before. You know, like the classic traffic light thing, which is red, yellow, green.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if it's getting a bit intense, you go, whoa, yellow, and then you know it's like tone it down. And if it's red, it's like, well, okay, we stop. Check yeah. in. Are you okay? Yeah.
And I guess I know for her as well, she like cannot do it if it's doggy or anything where she's not looking at him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's a good one too, because if you can look at each other, then also he's going to get a better read of where she's at.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
So you just really got to be having all of those different types of conversations.
Yeah, and they're good conversations. You know, people are like, oh, it's going to get heavy or I don't want to talk about soon. Like, it's like planning a holiday.
Yeah.
Where would you like to go? What do you want to get out of it? What are you concerned about it? You know, like, why do you want to go to the Bahamas? What's there? Oh, I don't know. I'm a bit worried about, you know, the quality of the food. Fair enough. Let's investigate. You know, like, it's just another part of life that can be absolutely fantastic and requires
a little bit of planning.
Planning and sharing and
yeah.
Yeah.
I am really happy for this particular listener because from what she's described of her current partner, he sounds like the very correct match for helping her work through this.
Fantastic.
So I'm hoping that they'll talk to each other about it a lot more.
Yes. Well, hopefully they're listening to this episode.
They've been listening.
I know.
Oh, this one's for you.
You know who you are.
I'm actually sure it's for many, many people listening, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you for all your beautiful questions, guys.
Yes,
I love
keep them
that.
Coming.
Every week on Instagram, ask me anything.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start doing a new thing where I'm just going to keep them all anonymous unless you say yes. You're okay with having your name shared. Because I do like sharing the names. I think it's nice to hear your name like shouted out on a podcast.
It is. But with this particular topic, not everyone will
yeah.
want that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, every week on like Mondays, usually Sunday to Monday is when the question box will be on our story. I'll try and keep on top of them if you send us questions throughout the week as well. But yeah, that's a great guaranteed way to get your question asked to a very credited, super lovely sex therapist.
Yes. Always open to them.
Our intro and outro music was produced by Paul Seal.
Fabulous Paul.
He's in this description, guys. Just released a new album. If you want any more of us, you can head to our Instagram page, My Mom's a Sex Therapist. But if you want some more of my mom, where can they find you?
Well, my Instagram account is at Jacqueline Hellier. Jacqueline.Hellier.
Yes.
Yes. H-E-L-L-Y-E-R. Or my website, which is www.jacquelinehellier.com.
Cool. How's the Bali retreat?
The Bali retreat, yep. It's on in a month and I still have space left. So if you want to come and join me, there is.
Totally sure.
It's amazing. 5 days in beautiful Bali. Yeah, there's more information on my website. And YouTube. Oh, well, they might be watching.
Oh,
this
yeah.
On YouTube.
If you wanna see these jeans. These
see
really
these
beautiful
with
jeans.
With a G E N E S. Yes. Like, you're not wearing jeans, darling. What are you talking about? I'm not wearing jeans. But we share jeans.
Yeah, genetic information.
Woohoo.
You can watch us on YouTube. I've been. Every week the video quality just gets a bit better.
We're learning here. Well, actually, I'm not. I just turn up. It's actually Claude does it all.
Does
like,
it all.
Claude is
Thank
amazing.
You, Claude, for producing, editing, co-hosting.
Styling.
Conceptualizing, scheduling, managing this podcast. We appreciate you, Claude.
Yep.
Otherwise, until next time, guys.
I hope you love your life.
Hope you love your life.
Yeah.
Bye.